Oh, hey there, bud.
We heard you like Dungeons & Dragons. Fancy that.
We're your Canadian neighbors, eh? Dungeons & Dragons.
And we just started season 3, which means it's the perfect place to start with us. Let me give you a little taste of the show.
How much is a donkey cost?
Russ, how much is a donkey cost?
The question everyone wants to know.
Is he ever going to give you up?
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Orcus is going to rule all and he won't desert you.
Find out why Dungeons & Dragons has been downloaded more than 1 million times. Start listening to season 3 today, anywhere fine podcasts are found or at dumbdragons.com.
My, oh my, my dog ran away. I don't get angry with the bills that I gotta pay.
Something about the mum smoking crack. Do you know what song I'm singing?
I don't get angry at the bills I have gotta pay.
My mom
smokes pot. Goes something, something, then back to the rock.
Sublime.
Yep.
I know songs.
Yeah, songs, am I right? You know what? I thought of something else we need to add to the list of things that make me way, way more angry than they should. We've talked about this in the past, haven't we?
Yes.
That thing where somebody's trying to get into the passenger door of your car and you haven't quite had time yet to unlock and they're reefing on the hand. Oh my God, that sends me over the edge. Something happened yesterday though that I was really, really, I was actually embarrassed with how angry I got. I'm cleaning up my yard. It's fall where we are. It's cold. It's getting cold. It's not freezing yet, but have you tried to put away a garden hose? Like tried to coil a garden hose that's kind of in that weird land between frozen and not frozen?
No, because my garden hose is a flexi hose. Not a big deal.
Oh my God, I just about snapped. I'm standing in my shed trying to coil this thing up. Finally, I just threw it out of the shed. My wife was looking from inside the house, and she just saw a garden hose come flying out of the shed. And she texted me. She's like, "What's going on out there?" And I had to explain to her I was angry at a hose. And then she laughed at me, which only made me angrier. So, yeah, garden hoses and when people reef on your door handle— Like, give me a second to unlock it.
Were you really mad at the garden hose, or is this really about your father?
Oh, my God.
A lawn chair is a good time chair, but you're aware of that. It falls down to half the size, so you can lay it flat. I can watch the world go by and live without a care. I've never had a bad time in my old lawn chair.
I want to talk a little bit. This conversation started the other day on our radio show because somebody had texted or called. I can't remember what. And she said that she had just gone through a drive-through and the person in the drive-through window gave her an extra breakfast sandwich and an extra hash brown. She'd only paid for one of each and she drove away. And I'm like, phew, did you turn around? Did you go back and tell them they made a mistake? Or did you just eat that second breakfast sandwich? What would you do in that case?
Oh, I wouldn't even hesitate. I'd be speeding away into the night, counting my winnings and devouring that second sandwich like the world owed me something.
Okay. But yeah, I guess it would be hard to ignore. Like I don't know. It's not clear though whether the person said, here, wink, wink, here's an extra for you, or if they accidentally put the extras in the bag.
Ooh, maybe someone was sweet on her.
Oh, maybe.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, and I question myself, too. Would I eat the, like, even if they gave it to me for free and I knew that it was just a gift to me, would I have the willpower to not eat the second breakfast sandwich? I don't think I would. If I knew it was sitting in the passenger seat and I had a 20-minute drive to wherever I was going, I'd probably eat the second one, too. And I would consider that a freebie that day because I didn't pay for it. Therefore, the trans fats and the caloric intake, that's a freebie.
Yeah. That's a pass. That's just science.
Yeah.
Is what that is. But no, I wouldn't even hesitate. I wouldn't think about it. Also, I'm just someone, like, I never check my order when they hand it to me. I just go, thank you, and I speed away, which has burned me a couple times.
Yes, but then you drive away and you realize you got a Filet-O-Fish when you wanted a Big Mac. Nobody wants a Filet-O-Fish.
Yeah.
Would you go back?
No. Well, no, I would eat it.
You'd eat the Filet-O-Fish?
I would. And then I'd be mad at the world for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Why do bad things happen to me? I would cry.
So anyway, we just started talking about this whole, I don't want to call it do the right thing because I want this to be judgment-free, although I will be judging silently. You might be able to pick that up through my tone. I don't know.
Yeah, I got that.
But I want this to be a place where we just sort of determine where society is at. If you get something by accident, maybe the clerk gives you too much change. Do you report that? Do you say, oh, I think you gave me too much money, and you give it back? You're buying a stack of clothes and maybe they forget to charge you for a pair of jeans. Do you tell them about the jeans?
No.
You would just speed off into the night?
I would.
Really?
Because I feel like society in general is always keeping us down.
Mm.
Every day is one gut punch after the other.
Wow.
And by getting a free breakfast sandwich, pair of jeans, or $5 bill is just your way of landing one punch back. Even if you're not going to win the fight in the end, at least you landed a punch. So take your victory while you got it and enjoy it.
Okay, here come the texts. Sometimes the life lessons are expensive. If a person working retail can't count and gives me extra change or something, that's on them. By telling them, you're just enabling them at being bad at their job. Extra is not extra. It's a life lesson for the person that screwed up. So basically, this person says they're doing the person a favor who gave them an extra 20. I'm doing you a favor by taking this money.
I feel like they're on my side, but I disagree with the logic. Because you could also just be like, hey, bro, you give me a $20 bill instead of a $5.
Yeah.
And they would still learn their lesson.
My boss makes a dollar while I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. Beautiful. You got to get what you can get when you can get it. I agree with Bryce. That's from Matt. I can't stand this mentality. I can't stand it.
The poetry is beautiful, though.
Yeah, it is. That whole thing where people feel that they should be making the same amount of money as the boss or the founder of the company. Yes, and you should be paid well for your skills. You should be paid for your worth ethic and your experience. I'm not arguing that, but somewhere in history, somebody took a chance. Somebody borrowed a backbreaking amount of money. Somebody went months and months on end without a paycheck while everybody else got paid. Somebody didn't get more than 3 hours sleep a night. Some people got no sleep. So why? They're the ones who shouldered all the responsibility for this place where you work now. They're the reason you have employment. You can walk away with 2 weeks' notice and go somewhere else. They don't have that option. So why should you be making the same amount of money and why should you be entitled to the same benefits?
Yeah, that's true. We work for a pretty large company.
Yeah.
And I don't think you or I have any business making what the CEO of the company makes.
No, because I get bored. The minute somebody mentions EBITDA, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Earnings before.
You start talking about quarterly earnings and I'm gone.
Oh my God, I glaze over.
Yeah, so some people deserve to get paid a little more.
Yeah. I don't, I just, that drives me nuts. That the victim mentality, that's what it is. The people, everybody who thinks that they're a victim in life. And you're a little bit like that, Bryce, when you say life is constantly punching you down, just raining down haymakers upon you.
Yeah. As the blows rain down upon me.
Yeah. Good morning. This is situational. If this is a big box store, F them.
Ooh.
If this is a small mom and pop shop, I will make them aware. We need to support local and the people in it with us. But using this, big box stores also employ local people. They're your neighbors. They're not that work up these big box stores.
I guess Home Depot can take a lost hammer easier than John's Hardware Store can.
Yeah. No, I see it.
I guess.
Here's somebody else. I think it balances out the number of times you get an extra burger at a drive-thru to the amount of times you drive away with a burger with no patties.
Yes.
That has happened. Take it when you can get it, but never take things if you think someone else will get in trouble. Wendy.
Hmm. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And I agree. Like I said before, I ordered 10 McNuggets. I only got 6 before, so I'm going to take this free McMuffin and flee into the night.
Did I tell you about the time I was at it? I went through a drive-through ATM and I took out $400. I still remember that. Why do I remember the amount? And it's not like this was a lifetime ago. This was within the last 10 years. And I took $400 out, but I drove away without taking the money out of the machine.
Oh my God.
I just drove away. I just sped off into the night. And then a couple of minutes later, there's this car chasing me, flashing their lights at me, honking. And I thought, ooh, is this that thing I've read about on the internet where I'm going to be initiated into a gang or murdered as somebody goes through their gang initiation? That crossed my mind. But I pulled into a gas station parking lot. This person, I immediately locked my doors and just sat there. And this person got out of their car and I could immediately tell they were non-threatening. It was like an old guy, I think. And he walked up to my truck and he brought me my money. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, so I mean, people do that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like to think that in that situation, I too would be like, I should give this $400 back. But part of me would be like, finders keepers, losers weepers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Can I read you one that might change your mind here?
Okay.
Here we go. Hey, when I was 16, I worked at a big box electronics store. This was years ago, and huge plasma TVs were the big thing. One day, I accidentally loaded a 72-inch TV into the back of a customer's truck. Turns out they had only paid for a 32-inch or something like that. Not trying to assign blame to someone, but there's no way they would have not noticed I was giving them a giant TV when they paid for a small one. They never came back. I got fired.
Ooh.
That was my first job, and getting fired hit me hard. It was humiliating. Yes, it was my fault, but those adults could have been better at being human beings. Nick.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, that's a little tough.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll tweak mine a bit, that you take your winnings and go.
If it's a sandwich, if it's a value menu item.
As long as it's not at the expense of the other person losing their job.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Because I remember TVs once upon a time like that.
Oh, they were crazy expensive.
It would have been so, the price difference between a 32 and a 72 would have been thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
Here's another one. I went to Lululemon with a friend. I bought two shirts and a pair of pants for under $100. I didn't think much of it as it wasn't a regular Lulu shopper. Once I got home, I realized I wasn't charged for my $120 pants.
Ooh.
I felt awful and wanted to return to the store, but my husband said that damn company makes so much money and charges way too much for their stuff. I should wear those bad boys with pride. Needless to say, I walked to the dark side. Every time I put those pants on, I snicker.
Snicker and feel alive.
There's no snicker of guilt, right? It's
oh no.
Snickers are always maniacal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now every time she wears those pants, she probably hears a police siren in the distance and starts to sweat a bit.
Ooh, or does she go, "Mwah!"
She's sweating, but thanks to those Lululemon pants, they're breathing.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Sure is, Bryce. I once noticed I was charged two less beers on my bar tab, so I let the bartender know. He returned with a new tab that now had two more beers taken off. What? I figured I'd tried. It's now on him. How dumb was that bartender?
Yeah, that's a swing and a miss. So that person tried to do the right thing. And they got rewarded by two more beers off their tab.
Yeah.
That's a good day. Take that win.
Oh, see, now we're crossing over to people stealing from work. Because if you think about this for a second, we did get a text from somebody who said, oh, yeah, my buddy worked at Burger King. And we used to get just bags and bags of Whoppers and French fries and everything else Burger King sold. And I just kept thinking to myself, my friends had lame jobs, and one worked in a used tire shop, not a new tire shop. He worked in a used tire shop, and the other one worked at his dad's insurance agency. So, I mean, maybe he could have got me a good deal on term life when I was 16.
You're not getting Whoppers.
No.
And I think at 16, you probably rather have the Whopper.
Of course. This one says, the rock star and I worked at KFC. I don't know who the rock star is.
Cool. Cool. I have a friend called the rock star.
We would cook lots at the end of the night and each take a bucket home. Oh, made too much. Sorry.
That sounds cool on paper, but it would just probably make you end up hating KFC after a while.
Do you think that's even possible?
Eat too much of it and it kind of spoils it for you?
I would like to try.
It's a good point. It's a good place to be.
Like, I would like to try and get tired of KFC.
It would take work. And it would almost be an accomplishment
yeah.
to get over that hill. But and start hating it.
Do you ever talk to somebody who's like, oh yeah, I used to work in a bakery. Can't eat the stuff now. I'm like, what? You can't eat bread and muffins and cupcakes? How could you ever get tired of that?
No, I worked in a movie theater. I do not hate movie theater popcorn.
Do you hate movies though, Bryce?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Hey, look what we got here, Bryce. My boss makes a dollar while I make a dime. Got another one.
Oh, beautiful poetry.
Yeah. I'm with you, Garner. It feels like society has an overall sense of entitlement.
Ooh.
I have a motto I live my life by. Do what's right, not what's convenient.
Well, I have a motto too. Get yours and get out.
Okay. Someone else has my back here. I'm with you, Garner. Someone left three $20 bills in the drive-thru at a CIBC bank machine. I parked my car and went into the bank and gave the money back.
Oh, jeez.
And then they add, that's just the way I was raised. I don't like it when people add that sentence because that's you patting yourself on the back.
No, take that money and run.
No, I'm not saying that either.
Get yours and get out. Leave a beautiful corpse.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Okay, interesting and upsetting, I guess. I work at a bank. My coworker was giving a customer cash and miscounted and gave the customer an extra $100 bill. The customer came back and returned the extra money. I can't say I'd do the same.
No.
He's and not this person works in a bank.
You're not going to get fired over $100.
You do it often enough.
You get slapped on the wrist. And if you do it often enough, maybe you deserve to get fired.
Hey, just pop a squat because they're definitely not sharing a chair. It's the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner and Bryce.
So if you do get fired and you're looking for a new job, I have a brilliant idea here.
Okay.
Instead of a resume, I don't want to look at any more resumes. I would want to see an adult highlight reel. I'd like to see a video highlight reel of you as an adult just doing the stuff you're good at.
Okay, so this is not pervy things.
No, I don't need to see that.
So not an adult highlight reel.
No, these would be just those things that nobody ever celebrates, but you're really good at them.
Oh, I see. The small things in life that you're good at.
Yeah, like this person right here. My adult highlight reel skill is that I always know what time it is within about 1 or 2 minutes. Daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors. I always know what time it is. That Ooh. Must be exhausting, though. To always be aware of what time it is. Because sometimes don't you want just time to pass?
Don't you just want to get lost sometimes?
Yeah.
In someone's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
And not realize, like, oh, it's only been 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I actually had a weird run-in with a neighbor.
Oh?
So I was backing my car into my garage in the back alley behind my house. And my next-door neighbor just kind of walked in as I was doing it.
Like, was he guiding you in?
No, he just walked in.
So hang on. You weren't even in your garage yet. You were backing in. He walked in to watch the back in show.
Yeah, so he stood and watched me back in.
Okay, that's weird.
Because he wanted to chat about something after. So when I got out of the car, he chatted with me about whatever. Hmm. But during the conversation, did compliment me on my one take back in.
Ooh.
Because I didn't have to pull back out and adjust. I did one flawless reverse.
And this was coming from an old guy, a guy who probably has 3 times as many years of driving as you do?
He has seen some things.
Wow.
But marveled at my ability to reverse flawlessly.
I wonder if I went to his house and I said, did you marvel? Were you actually impressed or were you just breaking the ice with some small talk?
Oh, he is definitely marveling.
Yeah. It does feel good, though, to back into your garage. Not necessarily the back end part, but when you're leaving, doesn't that just feel cool?
Especially when you're leaving at night when it's dark out and you just peel away into the shadows.
Yeah, you see your headlights reflecting across on the fence across the alley.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that feels so cool.
Yeah.
That's why Batman always backed into his garage.
Hey, Garner. You just mentioned that Batman backs into his garage, and I don't mean to nitpick, but Batman definitely has a turntable in his garage. He's not the type to do his own dirty work like that. He noses in and uses a turntable to turn the Batmobile.
I'm a nerd.
So that he can cruise out like you said.
Hiving my ring.
Yeah, that's the fact.
You got me on that one. But would you agree that it does feel good when you're backed in and you get to leave your garage and you feel sort of like, I don't know, you feel like a first responder or a superhero or something?
Damn straight. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Do you do the move too that I sometimes do where I flick imaginary switches up on the headliner of my car?
Yeah, I actually installed a bunch of illuminated overhead toggle switches on my last van that I built out just for that reason, so that I could feel like I was in a jet fighter.
Nerd. What is it with superhero people? Like, can't you just enjoy the superhero movie and the comic book or whatever it is you do? Why do you have to bring that into every conversation?
Imagine being an actor in one of those movies where there is an inaccuracy.
Oh, my God.
And that's just the rest of your life.
Yeah, William Shatner. He turned it into a career, though. But I don't know. Like, that must have been exhausting for William Shatner to be in an airport and have to talk about, well, in this episode of Star Trek, blah, 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 you were holding your phaser in your left hand, but you're clearly right-handed.
Yeah, the fanatics. That's what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Fanatics.
This one says, I can predict the small talk the server will make while waiting for the debit machine to process my payment. Well, that's pretty easy because 9 times out of 10, it's going to be, so, have any plans for the rest of the evening? So that one's not all that impressive, actually.
No, you're right. It's a small list of things they talk about.
Adult highlight reel. And why do they have to talk to you? Like, remember, they didn't always talk. I'm fine sitting there for 15 seconds while I wait for my payment to go through.
Actually, my favorite thing a server does is they just come over, hand you the debit machine, and then they walk away and go do something else?
Yes.
That's the best. Then there's no pressure.
I just feel like we're both tap dancing at that point. Like tap dancing faster and faster, trying to impress the other one. I don't know. It just seems like that is the most manufactured conversation in history. It's unnatural and unnecessary.
Wow.
Adult highlight reel. I can pour a jug of windshield washer fluid without spilling. No funnel. Kevin.
That's not bad. I'm pretty good at that, but I would say I'm probably 98%. Yeah. That first couple little chugs out of the bottle, usually there's a bit of spillage for me.
You don't know how much of a glug there's going to be?
It always catches me by surprise.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, like, you don't want to be in a position where you get it and there's still like a quarter of the jug left.
And now you have to put that in your garage and you forget to use it the next time.
No, you want to do it all, no spills, and use up the entire jug.
Oh, yeah. That's why you run it dry, Bryce.
Gotta run it dry.
Adult highlight reel. I'm great at opening a chest freezer without having to remove all the junk from the top of the lid. My talent knows no bounds. I get this so completely.
Yeah. Why do we always store stuff on the top of a chest freezer, knowing that we have to get into that freezer?
Why is there always a sweater laid out flat, drying on top of the deep freeze? How many sweaters are behind my deep freeze? That's what I wonder. Because there's been times where I've just sort of carelessly flipped the lid open, and maybe there was a sweater on top. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're in a mood and you just want to teach someone a lesson.
Yeah.
So you just say, you know what? Screw your sweater.
Yeah.
I need these Pop-Tarts. I need them now.
Craig says, hey, I'm really good at squaring off a lasagna. What does that mean?
Does that mean like cutting it into perfect squares?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
And people who can perfectly cut a cake.
Oh.
That's a skill. Now, if you're a boss hiring for a job and you get a video of someone perfectly cutting a cake or lasagna, hire them on the spot.
But if you get a video of somebody perfectly cutting a slice of pumpkin pie, which is the easiest pie to slice, that's not impressive. It's the finest of the pies, but it's not impressive to be able to cut straight.
No, a nice meringue. That's a difficult one to navigate.
Something with a flaky top on it. good morning. My adult highlight reel is that I have amazing penmanship and I can write in a straight line on a blank sheet of paper, all while being a lefty. Andrea.
The lefty really took it up a notch.
That's the kind of thing people would pay money to watch. Oh, and by the way, Andrea, my aunt on Vancouver Island, she's left-handed. Maybe you know her.
Hey, those two things, writing in a straight line with no lines to guide you, and when you draw like a perfect, flawless circle by hand.
Oh.
You could sell tickets.
I used to be able to draw a heart, but I can't draw a heart anymore. I used to be really good at that.
Huh.
Now I just use emojis. When watching sporting events on television, I'm a beast at making the exact comments and observations that the broadcast team makes mere seconds before they make them. Matthew, wasn't this an episode of Seinfeld?
I don't remember that one.
Maybe.
I do that from time to time, too, where I'm like, psh, that's icing. And then all of a sudden they go, man, that's icing.
Wow.
And you're like, wow, I may as well be in the box.
When you sit and watch sports on television, are you wearing a headset like the commentators on TV wear? You should be.
I do sometimes sit there and I would do the play-by-play in my head to see if I could pull it off.
Really? You never do it out loud, though?
No. Oh. And also, like, I would drop too many swears. A big hit would happen in the open ice, and I'd just be like, oh!
Holy F! I can hang a picture level only by eyeballing it.
Ooh.
This is very useful as I fix cars for a living. Well, very useful.
That's skill transcends.
Yeah. This one right here, I can eyeball and know if there's enough toilet paper left for the job before the job commences. Before it's time to punch that clock, if you know what I mean.
That is low key a very good skill to have because if you end up being a little short.
Oh my God.
And you're in someone else's house.
They're going to have to buy a new shower curtain. okay. Ooh. Now that we're being juvenile, this person says, Bryce, you'll be able to relate to this one. My highlight reel skill would be knowing exactly how much pressure to apply when letting one rip. I'm 37 years old and have never had a mishap, Ben, because you have a neck tattoo that says, never trust a fart.
Never trust a fart.
So.
But I feel like he just, like, you know when a pitcher's about to have a perfect game?
And somebody talks about the perfect game?
And you don't talk to him about it, you don't talk to him. When you're about to get a shutout in hockey, you don't say the word shutout.
Yeah.
He just jinxed it.
Oh, my God. Ben is probably buying himself some new pants right now.
Yeah. Good luck tonight.
Something I would put on my adult highlight reel, placing decals, or stickers on straight and smooth the first time. That is a skill.
It is. Because you never want a little air bubble inside of a sticker.
Nope.
You look like an amateur if you have a bubble.
If you're one of those cool guys that gets the giant decal in the rear window of your truck especially.
Yeah.
How do they get those on so straight? Yeah, how?
I've never seen one that's really all that bad.
No.
Yeah, but I do enjoy them. Calvin peeing on a Ford logo. That's just good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I saw that one the other day, official zombie apocalypse response unit or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
But it was on perfectly straight. And I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe this person has a business.
Maybe.
Show up to them. They'll put the sticker on perfectly.
Here's one nobody will ever notice. I consider myself elite at wrapping up leftovers with saran wrap. Slices of pizza, loaf of garlic bread, sandwiches for lunches. You name it, I'll wrap it airtight, Matt. Not that impressive.
I don't know. I take a lot of pride in how I wrap my cheese.
Do you?
Because I don't want my cheese going bad.
Yeah. You fold the corners down like you're wrapping a gift?
I actually wrap it twice.
Double wrapped?
Yeah. Huh. I double wrap that cheese.
When you're asked at the grocery store how many bags you need and you absolutely nail the right amount without over, under stuffing the bags. Hashtag satisfying. Hashtag ace estimator.
Man.
Bag estimator.
I never felt more ashamed in my life than I was talking about. There's a certain chain of grocery stores that always makes you guess how many bags you need. I don't know why they don't just tally up the bags when they're done and add it to the pile after. So they ask you before. And I was complaining about that. Like, I hate that. And the look of disgust I got around the entire room from people being like, oh, you still use plastic bags?
Oh
my God. I felt so judged and alone.
Did you come close to estimating, though?
Oh, I'm always off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm always off by one or two. I always ask for too many.
And then next thing you know, you got to put watermelon on top of bread. Oh. one more here, and then we're going to move on. This one, I would marvel at this. I wish I knew how, but it says, I can fold a fitted sheet. That's all it says.
Nobody likes a bragger.
Yeah. Let's pretend this person's name was Jeffrey. I don't know. Jeffrey is an all-star sheet folder. While others were playing grab ass, Jeffrey was upstairs in his room folding fitted sheets. Twin, double, queen, king, California king. He can fold them all. He knows his way around the elasticized corners.
You're listening to the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner and Bryce. They're trapped in your phone
forever.
So, Bryce, you and I have been talking backstage a lot about, and every time I say the name of the show, I always have to go, American Murder. It's a documentary on Netflix. It's fantastic. In, like, the story's not all that great. Like, it's pretty average.
It's a typical, it's a weird thing to say is average.
I know. See, now I
but
feel
I know
bad.
What you mean.
I mean, the guy was an annihilator. He, ooh. Spoiler?
Yeah, spoilers. So
wind it back. So there's this positive and uplifting documentary on Netflix right now. It's called American Murder. You wouldn't know by the title that it actually leaves you feeling good at the end.
Yeah, a real feel-good story.
We might be overselling it now.
Oh, man. Basically, it's a documentary about a murder that happened in Colorado just a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's not that long ago.
And the whole documentary, it's interesting because of how much footage they have of this family.
She was a multi-level marketer.
Yeah.
And so she videoed herself every day talking to her team. That's right. Her downstream, Bryce.
Is that the technical?
I think that's what they call her upstream.
I don't know.
One of the two. So that's why there's so much video of her talking about how wonderful her life is and how wonderful her children are. And but their whole life is laid out there on social media.
Yeah, and whoever made this documentary got that footage from her family, I think, handed it over.
Yeah.
They also got tons of police footage.
And all her text messages. So it's all a part of it. The text messages are a little revealing.
Yeah, I'd feel weird if I were her parents over some of those text messages.
Yeah.
But there's a point in the documentary where, without giving anything away, someone takes a lie detector test. And it goes sideways for him.
That's where things start falling apart.
That's when pieces start to fall into place and things start making a lot more sense.
And I'm a guy, I devour true crime podcasts. That's what I do with most of my day. And the one thing I have learned from listening to a true crime podcast is never take a polygraph. Never do it. Because it's a no-win situation. What if you are actually innocent of the crime, but you flunk the polygraph? Like, that's possible. You can do that. And all of a sudden now, and I know it's not admissible in court, but you still get that stink on you. And now for the rest of your life, people are questioning whether you had something to do with it.
Yeah. Even in this documentary, the woman says to the person taking the test, "You would be an idiot to come in here if you were guilty because you know I'm going to find out about it."
Yeah.
And this person tries to lie about it. And guess what happens? Busted.
The polygraph experience seems like not a pleasant experience.
No, and I actually had no idea that it wasn't admissible in court.
No.
I had no idea. I would assume that if you fail that thing, you know, RIP on you, you're going to jail.
Straight to jail.
Yeah.
Jen here, though. Hello?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Have you watched American Murder?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, no, it's okay. The reason we were talking about polygraph or lie detector tests is there's a lie detector in that documentary, no spoilers, that figures quite prominently.
Yeah, it's where the whole story takes a turn.
Yeah. And
okay.
So we started talking about lie detector tests on the show yesterday, and I said, if anybody ever comes to you and says, "Will you take a polygraph?" Always say no. Always say no. There, it's a lose-lose situation.
I would definitely say no now.
Yeah, because you had to go through one.
I did, yes.
What was it? Now, what's the backstory? How did you find? How did you end up at the police station with that thing on your finger?
Actually, it wasn't in a police station. I had to drive to Calgary to get it done.
Okay.
It was a private situation that is done for lawyers only, I guess, not in police station.
So this was part of their investigation?
Absolutely, yeah. So I was asked by... It's a really long story.
Just give us the meat. How did you end up in this situation where you were you in some kind of trouble?
I wasn't. Absolutely not. The gentleman who was my boyfriend at the time was wrongfully accused of what they were charging him with at the time was attempted murder with aggravated assault.
Okay.
And I was the only person that could clear him because he was at home with me.
So you were basically, you were
his alibi.
His alibi.
His only alibi, absolutely.
Okay. Did you pass the test?
Oh,
no.
The gentleman who gave me the test told me that I passed with flying colors on the relevant case-specific questions. The control questions, he said I did not.
So these are the questions they ask you to start with so they can calibrate the machine and kind of get an idea as to, it's simple questions like, what is your name, right?
Well, those are the basic ones. But after that point, the control questions, they determine what kind of a person you are.
Oh, okay.
And so he said they basically try to make an innocent person doubtful.
Oh, I see. They want to besmirch your good name by asking you weird questions.
Absolutely. Like ones that you are constantly thinking about while you're trying to answer another question.
Oh, what kind of questions did you fail? Well,
so like they're questions like, have you ever lied to get yourself out of trouble?
Ooh, and you said yes.
Well, and you're supposed to think of the first two or three answers that come to your head. And then after that point, you tell him those stories, and then after that point you're supposed to have with a clear conscience and be able to answer no.
Okay. So long story short, did your polygraph set a man free?
It did, yes.
Wow. And it hinged on your testimony, you providing an alibi?
As far as I was told, yes.
Wow. You're just like that lawyer. Have you seen the movie Just Mercy?
Yes.
You're just like that lawyer. You set an innocent man free.
Yeah, I did a good deed that day.
Yeah. Okay.
You get a present for setting someone free? You get gifts for that?
Clear conscience.
Oh, that's not enough.
Yeah, but you're not with this guy anymore, though?
I am not. We are still friends, but no.
Okay. Does he send you a muffin basket or anything every year on the anniversary just to say, whew, that was close?
That would be awesome, but no. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jen, you have been nothing short of a delight. And you said earlier, never take a polygraph test. Is that?
I would not take another one again. No, it seriously made me question my values afterwards.
So what is the appropriate gift for somebody who takes a polygraph and then sets you free?
It's a weird thing because like when you go out of town and you have someone look after your dog, generally, yeah, you bring back something from Mexico to give them.
Yeah.
Thanks for looking after my dog. So if you do that, I feel like if you get someone off of murder charges, they owe you a present.
She drove to another city to take that test.
Like you owe them something.
Yeah.
I don't know. A nice bouquet of flowers, perhaps.
Yeah. Somebody texted, the perfect gift for getting someone cleared for murder is a scarf. With embroidery saying, thanks for getting me off the hook. Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, wordplay. That's fun. Oh, that's good. It is a weird thing. Like, how could you not feel like you don't owe that person something?
I don't know. I would just think every year on the anniversary of them springing you from prison that there'd be like some cookies by George.
Yes.
Maybe some oven mitts. I don't know. Like, I feel like you owe that person a lot.
Yeah, for how long that sentence would have been. So, what was that? Attempted murder?
Yeah.
So that's what? Probably 15, 20 years? No, that's probably not that long. 10 to 15, let's call it.
No, people kill people drunk driving and get 2 years. So,
attempted murder? Things less? Five?
No, let's say seven. Let's say 7 years. For 7 years, you are obligated to buy them an annual gift.
Yes.
And maybe something really, really good at the end.
I don't think that's asking a lot.
Yeah, like a Cuban vacation. Garner, I didn't pursue a career in law enforcement because I once had a very lucid dream that I had murdered someone. I woke up and I asked myself, did I? Wow. Needless to say, not signing up for a polygraph. That's bad when you wake up and you have to go, oh my God, did I really murder Kevin?
Yeah. Did I murder someone?
Sure, he's annoying and everything, but I don't know if I'd murder him.
I have heard, though, that the polygraph tests for becoming police officers, they do ask apparently a lot of weird questions.
Yeah.
And I think they ask a lot of, you know, they ask a question several different ways.
Oh, yeah. They phrase it differently.
I actually had to take a test. It wasn't a polygraph, but I had to take a test when I got hired to be a cashier at Safeway that I failed twice.
So you could never be on cash?
No. I had to become a bag boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Twice. And I even cheated the second time.
And you still failed?
I failed it so bad.
Wow.
Not to be trusted with money. That's a lesson Safeway learned about me.
Here, somebody says, hey, guys, some fire departments make their new recruits go through a polygraph test. Some questions are unreal. Haven't gone through the process myself, but others have and have received a mailed letter asking them to please never apply again. Not the news they were hoping for, Unch. Isn't it? Can't you just say, hey, look, you're not fire department material. Why do you have to hammer it home with the... Whatever you do, do not ever contact us again.
Yeah, that's taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
Like not only do you not get the job, but don't even talk to us again.
Yeah, here's some insult to add to the injury.
Why would a fire department have to do that? Police, I get, because, you know.
Hey, well, think about this for a second. You got to be trustworthy as a firefighter. Say, I don't know, maybe you're checking for hot spots in a smoldering 1,200 square foot bungalow that just burned to the ground, and now you're looking down, you're like, huh, is that the Hummel figurine I'm missing from my collection? And you got those big pockets on that jacket.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably it right there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. We got somebody here. So you had to actually go to a police station and take a polygraph?
I did. This was in another province. This was in Ontario. And back when I was young and, you know, young people do dumb things. And so I did something I won't really get into detail about, but there was an investigation and I was being questioned, and the police asked me if I would take a polygraph test because they are voluntary. And, you know, also being young, I guess I was pretty arrogant. So I said, oh, yeah, sure. And I, you know, assumed I could beat it. And I jumped on the internet and I looked up ways to beat the polygraph test, and I did not beat it.
So you got charged?
I did not, because a polygraph, because it's also voluntary, it's also not concrete evidence to be used in court.
Yeah, that's
in Canada.
Yeah, if there's one thing I've learned from all the true crime podcasts I've listened to, it's not admissible in court. So I always ask, why would you take one? Like, what if you were innocent and you failed the polygraph?
Well, again, I mean, I knew I wasn't innocent, and I just, again, I assumed I could beat it, and, you know, I figured if I beat it, well, that's going to end the investigation. And so, long story short, the police came with the results. You know, they go in the back room, and they look at the questions and results, and they come back to where you are, and they told me, okay, so, you know, you failed on this question, so that we know that you know what happened. We know that you were involved. And at that point, I just said, okay, I guess this is my time to leave. And I left the police station.
And nothing further happened?
No. Like I said, they still didn't have enough evidence to get what they wanted, I guess.
But do you ever worry that one day, might be 20 years from now, somebody's going to show up, some guy in a dark suit is going to show up at your workplace and go, hey, can we talk to you for a few seconds? And then he's going to pull out a manila envelope that's going to have some real evidence in it.
Well, what I will say is, you know, I didn't kill a guy, so I really don't think that it's something that'd be worth digging up 20 years later.
Was it something, you know, lame, like stealing printer toner cartridges?
It wasn't quite that small, but it was not something worth digging up 20 years later, that's for sure.
Okay, so you're sleeping fine.
I'm sleeping just fine, yeah.
What do you think his crime was?
He said it wasn't murder. That's immediately where my mind went, based on zero facts.
I don't think it was anything violent, because if it was a violent crime, don't you think that there would be that possibility that in the years to come, they'd go, hey, you know what? I think we got some new information. And then they would show up at his workplace?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was auto theft.
Ooh, that would make sense.
I'm guessing it is like a property crime of some kind.
Okay. Maybe graffito tagged a building.
Ooh, maybe.
Thanks for listening to The Lawn Chair Profits with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. Theme by Garner Andrews. Guests of The Lawn Chair Profits drink tap water. Mmm, tasty.